different presentation than that was heard from today, earlier today. But we'll push on. Now, as Dave said, there's been a bit of interest in an economic evaluation that we commissioned about what we call precision livestock management. And I'll talk a little bit about that as we go forward, and we'll look at some of the results of what that report or economic evaluation has put out. But I must say right up front that it's certainly not conclusive, and this is more a demonstration of process in terms of how you evaluate investment opportunities rather than looking at the absolute results. So what we want to cover today is in terms of what's precision livestock management in how we talk about it, what's the rationale for it, some of the results from this business case, what we call it, and where to from here. 20 minutes, so I'll just... Okay, so in terms of, for us, precision livestock management deals with technology applications which have potential to improve individual animal performance, and it can be through their measurement, their monitoring, or the management of those animals. So it certainly incorporates a lot of the spatial kind of enabling technologies that we've been talking about today, but it includes some other things as well. It's certainly, precision livestock management is not an original term. It's widely used and it means various things, but that's how we look at it. And the focus is on individual animal management and monitoring and measurement. Often, essentially, it's relying on technologies and the application of various technologies to enable the automated and remote management or measurement monitoring. Okay, now I just want to step back and put in context in terms of where we come from as MLA, and all of you will be aware, I mean, we are an investor in research, development, and extension in the industry. And this is the playing field that we are constantly reminded of and the challenge that we face industry that we work to. And this is the challenge of facing beef producers, and it's a fairly harsh reality, but it's essentially what we work to. And you see them there. Production costs are rising faster than the prices, declining terms of trade, there's a declining rates of return, very narrow operating margins, etc., the increasing concerns with environment and animal welfare. I'll give you a couple of little statistics that have come out of some benchmarking data, which the report isn't released yet, but it's benchmarking of northern enterprises, 200 northern enterprises over the last 10 years. The return on assets managed is between 0 and 2% of these benchmarking businesses, which are probably above the average. 6 out of the last 7 years, they have spent more than they've earned. The overhead costs in the last decade have risen by 54%, and their operating costs have risen by 150%. Operating margins are very narrow, from zero. So that's the production environment that northern herd, the northern enterprises are working in. So that's the context we work in. We have a declining terms of trade of 2.6% a year. You have to increase the efficiency of your enterprise by 2.6% every year just to stay where you were last. So these are big challenges for us as investors, they're big challenges for producers and researchers, and I guess what this economic evaluation was about is what can technology offer in that frame, in that space, under that scenario. So that's the scope, and it's not, sometimes it's a fairly depressing kind of picture, but there are producers in the population that are doing well. So we all have to remember that all the time. So what are the opportunities for precision livestock management? There's a range of them there, in terms of the rationale. There's large variation in individual animal performance within any model. And precision livestock management is about understanding those variations, measuring them, monitoring them over time, and managing them. So improving, reducing variations in the model to increase overall productivity. There's a range of other things there. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I probably need to get down to the guts of what the report was saying, how the report was conducted. And another level of individual management, there's a rationale for improving the efficiency of cattle mustering and movement. And this is where virtual fencing and understanding where animals graze, where all those kind of applications and technologies come into play. There's good reasons for doing this. On the economic side, mustering and animal movement is the big expense. Also, it affects between livestock and the environment affects the land condition, how animals use the environment, and it affects a whole range of issues. And there's a range of technologies there. We talked about virtual fencing, and we'll have a look at that later. There's other applications like unmanned aerial vehicles. Some left field ideas about how technology can be used to address some of these problems. Okay, so like I said, our brief in terms of as an investor is to look at the opportunities and to decide objectively where we invest money. And it's not an easy job for many reasons, but essentially we invest in good ideas. We invest in good science that produces good innovation, good knowledge, good commercial end products. But the most important thing for us is that we have to invest in the areas that provide the best economic benefits to the industry. And, you know, it's a difficult situation. There's a lot of choice, and there's a small amount of money. And it's not an easy thing to do. So this business analysis was one step of saying, what is a rational economic process that we can look at a range of options to help us or assist us make a investment decision. So we commissioned this study where we asked the researchers to actually do that, to choose a range of technologies and applications and to apply a economic process of evaluation to them. And we'll have a look at some of the steps of that and some of the results. And I must say again, the results, this report demonstrates a process. It demonstrates the difficulties and challenges that we face, but certainly not a conclusive document that we're going to use to go forward in terms of making decisions.
I just want to make sure that I've covered off on some of those initial points, because they're quite important.
Okay, so essentially the report is structured in two broad areas, and it covers a range of technologies, and most of you will be here will be very familiar with the technologies. I mean, that's what you do. So up there we have the area of animal mustering and movement, and that covers things like virtual fencing and the application of unmanned aerial vehicles. And we'll have a look at some of the potential of those technically. And the second area of animal measurement, monitoring, and management. And there's a range of things there, animal recognition technology, walkover weighing and auto-drafting, telemetry, EID or electronic identification devices, RFID, technology, and data management and decision making. So this is all in reference to northern beef herds. So we're not going to talk really at all about the technical aspects of any of those. We'll talk about how they might be applied in terms of the assumptions of the study. But you guys, better than anyone, know a lot about the technical aspects of those. There's exception to that. UAVs, people might say, how do people use unmanned aerial vehicles? There's a lot of work being done in UAVs in other industries, particularly the military. We're doing some work with UAVs as a tool for automated detection, mapping of, and deployment of herbicide operating weeds in northern Australia. Simply large, these are toys for boys, large fixed and hovering UAV platforms. They are automated. That they can undertake those tasks. Early days, very much so. Essentially, all the smarts is not the UAV, it's the sensor payload and the algorithms and the classifications that are working on board those UAVs. And in this case, the Australia Centre for Field Robotics is the second largest UAV researcher in the world doing this work in North Australia. And this is an example of a hovering UAV. This is just to give you an example of some of the capacity that it could apply to other areas. This is a hovering UAV that's working completely automated, completely automated fashion, making decisions about mapping and deployment of a herbicide. So there's no kind of manual control of this machine. Essentially, all this is demonstrating is a lot of the technology is off the shelf from other industries, and it's how you apply the smarts and how do you apply that technology into the problems that we have in terms of running beef enterprises. So that's a hovering UAV that's doing a range of tasks. It's been programmed to undertake those tasks, and it's undertaking those tasks. This is in reference to there's about eight steps to the process here, and we'll go through, we'll talk about each one of them briefly. Firstly, we ask them to detail what the possible on-farm applications of technology and the innovation components were. Ask them to evaluate and in particular quantify what the on-farm production benefits were. So any particular technology or application, how is that going to change, at the end of the day, production on that farm? Is it going to reduce costs? Is it going to increase your livestock gain? Is it going to increase the sale price of your animal? Give us the systems analysis about how that occurs. Quantify it. And so use whatever tools available, spreadsheet models, herd models, et cetera, et cetera. Analyze the economic benefits for the enterprise and scale it up to the industry. It's easy to say. It's very hard to do. Quantify the investment development and commercialization costs. Look at the resource requirements, the constraints, the challenges, the risks, the complexity of getting any technology to the marketplace. It's no good. Technology is no good in an office, wherever, unless the producer can use it. As you can see, these questions are not easy to answer, but essentially it's the information that we need to know, at least with some level of accuracy or certainty, before we can actually understand where we can invest. Estimate the likely adoption and acceptance of different technologies. There's various ways you can do that. You can look at what's the implementation cost, the relative advantage, the compatibility, the trialability, the observability, the simplicity. They're all factors that influence adoption. Rank these applications. So there's been a whole lot of work done. Rank all these applications and technologies in terms of their general strengths and weaknesses. So you've gathered a whole lot of information. You've got economic information, production information, the adoption information, the cost of getting technology, estimated cost of getting technology to the market, put all that together and come up with some rankings about something that we can look at seriously. There we go. Identify two promising applications that we might want to invest in the short term and the long term, and give us a business case. That was easy to write down. Very easy to write down. I can tell you now, this is not an easy job, and the guys that have done the report have done a very good job, but this is where I've got to say, any results you get is determined by the assumptions you put in, obviously, the scenarios you want to actually evaluate, a whole range of things. So what you see is their understanding and their interpretation of various assumptions, various scenarios about the results. So what we did is we asked them, in terms of an enterprise, now this is we asked them to actually model the production benefits for four representative enterprises across Northern Australia, the Arizona enterprise, Southern Queensland, the northern top end, and the Central and Northern Queensland. So these are representative data sets from the BCRC, herd models, and enterprise models that we used to actually look at some of the production effects. So each of these things were evaluated for representative enterprises in each of those zones. So we got a picture of was some technology and applications relevant in some areas or in others. Okay, this is the summary, and I'll quickly go through on the side here what some of these things. The UAV surveillance, UAV monitoring. This is using a UAV or an unmanned aerial vehicle. Basically, it's a surveillance platform to check fence lines, roads, infrastructure. Okay. Very simple, sending streamed video images back to a base. UAV mustering. This is using a UAV platform to assist in mustering. It's manual, it's not automated. Essentially, it's assuming to increase the efficiency of mustering. Virtual fencing. This is the use of virtual fencing to control animals within a space, reduce the mustering costs, and improve the efficiency of landscape use. Animal recognition technology, auto drafting, and telemetry and EID. This is the use of animal recognition technology to draft off feral goats in a particular enterprise and improve moderate improvements in land condition, carrying capacity, etc., etc. Walk over weighing, auto drafting, telemetry, electronic identification. This is the use of walk over weighing and auto drafting to actually make drafting decisions based on animals hitting their saleable live weights at a certain time and improving the efficiency of reaching a market weight, reducing costs of the animal on the property, and essentially improving your sale price of your animal. Now, these general scenarios are what the research team is looking at. Telemetry and water monitoring, data management systems, and people won't talk about those at all. But we won't really dwell on any of them. And essentially, this is an example of some of the output. And I'll jump right ahead to the end results, and then we'll work back quickly. I'll jump through a couple of things, and we can move on. This is the net present value and the internal rate of return of, say, UAV surveillance in those four regions. When you look across that, this is across a 10-year period. When you look across any of that table, well, you'll see there is nothing there that really stands. That's a net present value of $536. There is nothing there with the assumptions and the scenarios that they run. You'll say, yeah, that looks like something I'd invest in. Nothing at all. Which really surprised us. And so we're in the process of now really drilling down to this and saying, well, what is the issues there? Why is this the case? How much time for it? This is one example. So this is where they looked at the analysis for those enterprises for what's this? Use of a UAV helicopter for mustering and checking balls and water. Conservative assumptions. But even when you have fairly good information about the cost of running a UAV, incidentally you can run a UAV for about $30 to $70 an hour compared to $380 an hour for a normal helicopter. Even then, come up, the internal rates of return look good, but next to a very small NPV, we're not something overall. Virtual fencing. Now, this is a very good example of the assumptions you put in. So the assumptions for virtual fencing, so for the benefit stream, is that virtual fencing in this scenario could reduce mustering costs of a paddock by 50%. Right? That's assuming you have a system for virtual fencing. It might improve increase in tank capacity by 2 to 5% for better landscape utilization. Now, and as you can see there, there's some very good potential benefits there. Understanding and working out what the costs of implementing that in a commercial system is very, very difficult. So they used the best cost based on the information we have now. But obviously, we invest now, but we know that as things go through time, things become cheaper and still more important. But as a result, high cost per year, even reasonable benefits in each of those areas, you end up with what appears to be a non-economic solution in that situation. So from a starting point, because you can look at break-even costs, when you have these assumptions, and you can modify these as that comes down, you can actually look at what's the break-even cost do I need to get a per-unit device down to actually make this flow. That's not until you start getting into this kind of numbers that you start actually drilling down to, is this technology going to be deliverable realistically in this little time period? These guys, so they went from the enterprise level, but then they went to have a look at adoption rates. So they had to then say, okay, for enterprise, what's the likely adoption rate? So they used a model that said it's got a high internal rate of return that will affect adoption. These are what their assumptions were on adoption. I don't particularly agree with them, but that's what they used. But they're not assuming that huge chunks of the industry adopt these technologies. So then when they went from enterprise levels of return, then they scaled that up using adoption rates and assumptions around that to actually look at what the industry level value return of those technologies. Of course, it's around all the assumptions around adoption, et cetera, then what you might get at the enterprise just gets scaled up. pushing back on to researchers more about what they have to do. Because for us to make a decision about whether we invest in something, we have to kind of go through that ourselves. So the only way we can go through that is to ask developers, researchers, to give us that information because they can. So the best information we can get around all that stuff, the more confidence we have in making decisions about where we invest. Where do we go